Hallelujah. I'm going to exhort you for a few moments before we will have a greeting time in just a little bit. And by the way, we greet everybody that's watching, all of our family. I have some notes for later. Hallelujah. Take your Bible or your smart device or whatever your Bible is on. And turn with me to, I'm going to give you a few places, because I want you to follow along with me. I want you to make sure that I'm right and not just manipulating you. You should know that. You should know and judge. But this is, I'm going to tell you that this is a exhortation concerning giving. But he wants to teach us, from time to time he will teach us. Any good pastor teaches his body everything. Everything. Teaches everything. He teaches them how to walk in righteousness, walk in power, how to give, how to cast out devils, how to do spiritual warfare. I mean, there's hundreds of subjects in the Word of God. It's all one revelation, but you teach everything. You teach it all. Because Jesus did. He taught everything. He was an apostle. He was a prophet, he was a pastor, and he was a teacher, and Jesus was the world's greatest evangelist. So every pastor teaches. Paul was an apostle, and Paul taught the world how to walk in righteousness. But he also taught them, he had two chapters. We're not going to turn right away to those, but let me tell you, the heart of New Testament giving is in Corinthians. We'll turn there in just a moment. Two chapters in Corinthians. But first of all, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I want to share with you for just a few moments. He wants to. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to talk about the student communicating with the teacher. Okay? The student communicating with the teacher. And it's just a short teaching lesson. It'll help you, it'll help me, it'll help the church, it'll help everybody. Galatians chapter 6. Now, I will tell you this, that this portion of Scripture here is often judged as in a spiritual sense. And you can make application to that. I'm not trying to destroy that. But it's more the fruit of it, and it is a spiritual sense in what happens as a result of what Paul is saying here. And that's the fruit of it. But the root of exactly what Paul is saying here, he's going to give an example in our giving and the obligation that we have as students in our financial giving. So I want you to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. And Paul says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, you could say, now, because I'll tell you right to start with, that word communicate is the word koinonia, which it means to be a partaker or a giver or to just communicate. Like, it could mean like you come up and say, well, Pastor, I really got something out of that service. You taught real well. I got something I never seen before. It could mean that, okay? Homer, you taught really good, and I got something out of that. That's part of it. That's part of it. But is there a preciseness? Is there an exactness in what Paul is saying here? It says, let him that is taught in the word, that's you, and that's me at times, communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Then he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Last verse. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So he kind of just goes right back, and I'll tell you why, to what his original subject matter in communication. The word, as I said, the word communicate here that Paul uses is the word koinonia. You can look it up. I'm not going to any deep Greek here. It's 2441 in the Strong's. It means to communicate, to distribute. It means to distribute or be a partaker. Okay? Now, one other place I want you to see where Paul uses this same word, go to Philippians chapter 4. And verse 14. Paul said this in verse 14. He said, notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate, same word that he just used, with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Everybody say giving and receiving. So we're understanding the subject matter here. But you only. So he's teaching these people at Philippi that they were giving even when others were not. Okay? For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desired a gift. In other words, it wasn't because Paul was putting pressure on him or that he felt like, you know, I deserve this. But he said, I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. That's an offering, an odor, a sweet smelling, of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he says this, this famous verse. But he's out of all that, he said, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The second communicate here, really, the first one is, it's a derivative of koinonia. It actually comes out of koinonia. But when he says here, let me find the second one. In verse 15 he says, no church communicated. That is the word, exact word that he used over there in Galatians. That's the koinonia as to participate. Here he has it directly as in giving. And then the Moffat Bible says this. I think it's a really good translation, but this is Galatians 6:6 and past those verses that we just read. Listen to it. You just listen, because obviously you don't have it. But it's a good translation. Those who are taught must share all the blessings of life with those who teach the word. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A man will reap just what he sows. He who sows for the flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. And he who sows for the Spirit will reap life eternal from the Spirit. Never let us grow tired of doing what is right. For if we do not faint, we shall reap our harvest at the opportune season. So then, in other words, as a result of all that I just said, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Opportunity is talking about as in giving. He says, let us do good to all men, in particular to the household of faith. So let me just go over this real quick on Ephesians or Galatians 6. What he's saying, oftentimes it's interpreted like this. If I sow to the Spirit, like if I put the word in me, pray in tongues, I'm going to reap good things. That's a truth, absolutely. That's bore out 1,000 times over through Scripture. But particularly he's talking about communicating as in, and he sandwiches. We read a verse at the beginning and a verse at the end. He said, "Is when you have opportunity to do good, do it." In other words, when you can. So what he's saying is, he's saying something obvious, like if you sow to those who are teaching and blessing through the word, You're sowing to the Spirit because you're receiving the word back. You're receiving things back, good things. Now, he goes in retrospect, he just goes to the far left and says, if you're sow to the world, the things of the world, you know, to the fleshly things of the world, you're going to reap death. But you're sowing, if you're sowing to spiritual things and to those that are giving spiritual things, you're going to be sowing not only to their life, you're going to be sowing into a harvest in your own life that you're going to be continually receiving. Make sense? Well, I don't get it out of that, Pastor. Well, okay. But one of the deadest men I know is Gary Carpenter, and he taught it just like I'm teaching it. So I see it very clearly. It's very clear there that when you sow into, you're going to get back. Isn't that? That's pretty simple, right? Now look at 2 Corinthians. This is where the chapters I said was the heart of New Testament giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is, if you want to go to, and as I said, any pastor that's a pastor, he'll teach the whole spectrum of everything to help people know where they stand with God and how they're supposed to react in giving and all those kinds of things. Now, I can't teach 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I'm just going to share a couple of verses with you. Those of you that are part of the family that watch this and the family that goes here know how we receive offerings. How much should I give? Well, we teach the essence of conscience. Conscience. First, listening to the Holy Spirit. If He says anything directly, how many of you know you should obey what the Holy Spirit says? Okay? But if you don't hear anything, then you should do it according to your heart. Well, do you have a scripture on that? Yes, I do. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." By the way, I can't teach that, but I will just pull the rug out from underneath any kind of thought process like, if I sow more money, I'm going to get more. That is not the context. He's saying, in fact, it had nothing to do with putting any kind of onus on the people, or burden is the right word, burden on the people. He was just saying, if you sow more, the preface to this whole thing when he led up to verse 6, it was saying, there's a great harvest out there, and the more you're able to give, the more I'm able to reach with this. So the more you give, it was not had any contemplation of putting any burden on the people, because he says this in verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his own heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." How many are glad that He loves a cheerful giver? Giving cheerfully means the burdens off that man has ever put on you, or the burden of self, but you are interacting with God in a sense to love Him and give out of. Now, going back to Galatians chapter 6, I invite you, please, look into that. Make sure that I'm doing that, I've given you correctly out of context and correctly out of the Greek. But I can tell you that Paul was saying there is an obligation that if you're receiving from the word, he wasn't particularly specifying the man. I'm not talking about me. He was talking about giving into ministry. If you're receiving from a church or you're receiving from a ministry, then your obligation is to also communicate or give back to them, because you're reaping something wonderful. Continue to sow that you can continue to reap. Amen? So, 2 Corinthians, well, let's look at this. This is important too. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, same, just one chapter earlier, verse 11. This was all about, these two chapters is all about an offering, okay? It's heart, the heart of New Testament giving. Jesus teaches us really well on giving, but Paul goes on to talk about the things. Jesus said, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit was taking Paul into the expanded version of the teachings of Jesus. Now let's look at verse 11, 2 Corinthians 8, 11. "Now therefore," he said, "perform," he was talking to the church at Corinth, because he was talking to them specifically about the offering, Check me out. Go there after service, not during service. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, in other words, they had a willing, I'd like to give it an offering to go. That's going to go help the church in Jerusalem. So there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Look at this, out of that which you have. In other words, this is just real simple. He said you had a intent to do it. Now, don't just intend to do it. He's doing it in a loving way. Don't just say, I'd like to give. Go ahead and really do it. Go ahead and complete the task. So he says in verse 12, For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Aren't you glad? That part's good. It's not according to what I don't have, like God's not demanding or man should not demand of me what I don't have, but in accordance to what I do have. Now I will say this. The heart of verse 12, the one that we just read, did everybody kind of read that with me or kind of follow along, or at least you're acting like you've got a Bible around? Verse 12 says this, For if you come up to me after a service and challenge me and you didn't have your Bible open, I won't talk to you. I'm going to ask, did you have your Bible open? No, I didn't bring it, or I don't read my Bible while you're, well, I'm not, okay, I'm just kidding. I will, but we'll sit down with my Bible if you didn't bring yours, okay? Okay, verse 12 says this, for if there be a first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The heart, listen to this, and I know you see this. This is the when he says it's not according to what, it's according to what you have, not what you have not. The heart of verse 12 was to take the pressure off a man that would try to do something that he could not afford to do financially. That's really good, isn't it? But the essence of the truth stands in both ways. In both ways. What do you mean by that? In other words, he sets a precedence here in that verse by saying, I deal with a man's heart according to what he has, not according to what he doesn't have. Well, we automatically receive it like this, and we should, because the real heart of that verse is, take the pressure off me trying to do something that I cannot do financially, or it diffuses preachers that would put people under bondage to try to pull from them something that they financially cannot give. So that diffuses that. But here's the other side of it. Here's the other side that is equally true, because Jesus gave us a proportionate verse there. That's a proportionate verse. God expects the giver of the giving of an individual to have some proportionate relevance to their means or lifestyle. That's what we just read. In other words, give according to the proportionate of your means or your lifestyle. Now, based on that truth, for a person of means having much left over to give the proportion of those who have not, according to verse 12, that's not in order with verse 12. Let me say it like this, okay? What are you trying to get across, Pastor? The word, proportion. Proportion sets us free from bondage. Here's the thing. Here's what verse 12 is saying. God deals with us in proportion of who we are. If a person of means, I'm going to put it like this, to be honest with this verse. Let's say this. If you were a person that is being fed, according to Galatians, and you're able to, let's say it like this. If you're able to sock hundreds of dollars a month, if you're able to sock it, like I've paid my bills and I can still sock hundreds of dollars a month and there's still a lot left over, or I can put it into a retirement account, or and you give $5, $10 every now and then, that is not in proportion to verse 12. Do you see that? I mean, that's the word. I'm not giving you, that's not thus saith Bronk. He's saying according to what a man has, and not according to what he does not have. To our viewing audience, I really appreciate your giving. I really do. We've got some of the greatest givers in the world in here. What I've found out just through the last 3 years that we've had, we have so many people that write in, I'm so blessed, Pastor. And please, listen, continue. This is all free. It's free. Now, Facebook is, I think, I don't have Facebook, but do you have to, are you charged for Facebook? Facebook's free. YouTube, I think, is, it doesn't cost us anything. But our streaming costs us a lot of money every year. And I'm just telling you, it doesn't come free. That, and also the internet to bring it in costs us a lot of money every year. Well, are you putting on a burden? No, no. Pastor, you're putting a necessity on us. No, it's called accountability. It's not a necessity, it's accountability. Now, I found out that probably of all the people that enjoy, and there's several hundred, of all the people that enjoy our broadcast, there's probably, and I was trying to be, I went over this just a little bit, I think there's probably about 5% that ever contribute back into the giving, probably about 5%. So I would just say to you, again, it's all by conscience, but Galatians 6 tells us if you're receiving, it's just the right thing to give back. You're sowing back into the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's just all I've given you, word, 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 word. Okay, amen. How many appreciate the word? Thank God. All right, let's just pray, and we're going to receive an offering. I like to build the word in you. That way that there's, it wasn't Bronx said, it's Paul said, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you for, Lord, you meet their needs and the needs of the house. Lord, we thank you that we're free from bondage, but we're also very accountable based on the proportionate that you give into our life. Now we bless you. We pray that you'll speak to the hearts. We pray that you'll speak to them, guide them, lead them this morning, bless them throughout the week as they continue. And Lord, there are those that have been receiving for years. I want them to continue to receive. But Lord, I thank you that you're going to open the eyes, whatever veil is on the eyes. We bless them so that, Lord, that they cause that which they can to sow into spiritual things so they may reap a good harvest in the days ahead. Hallelujah. You'll never, by the way, ever get a bill from any of us, those of you that are watching. Gary Carpenter said a guy, he just sent a guy tapes for years, and he never got a dime. And just all that postage and everything. The guy finally, it was amazing, and I'm just paraphrasing, wrote him a wonderful check. And he said, he contacted Gary, I guess he called him or something. He said, I guess you noticed that you've been giving me all this stuff for years, and I never have given you anything. And Gary says, I guess you noticed I haven't stopped either. Given you, continue to send it. And that's how we are. We'll never stop. We just keep. But we appreciate you obeying the word of God. Hallelujah. According to a good conscience. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I was going to show off the little woman. My little Ava is 1 year old tomorrow. And she wouldn't have remembered you singing to her anyway, but I would have remembered. And I would have watched how many of you did it, okay? But she was causing so much problems up here that her mama had to take her out. Donner is going to be here 2 weeks from today. Please, ladies, on that Saturday, you have nothing else to do except be here for that Saturday banquet and her teaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's going to be a great time. And so that's the 9th and the 10th. And all day Sunday, she'll be teaching in the morning service, and she will be praying for people and casting out devils and doing whatever is necessary. Hallelujah. And so tonight at 6, we're going back to the Sunday night services. We only have a few more for the season, and then we're done until after the new year. So please, everybody, come and be a part of that. Amen. Let's all stand together. Amen. When you bring this down, please greet one another. And thank you for your giving out there. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that are giving online, if you have something this morning, go ahead and bring it down, and we appreciate it. Amen. Father, we look to you and you alone. As we set our word in front of us on a daily basis and eat from this word, and as we pray the mysteries and worship you for the things that you've brought forth, we know that, Lord, we rejoice first of all in that which we have become in Christ, and the fellowship, knowing that throughout the endless ages will continue to be manifest in fellowship with you, Father. What an inheritance we have. But you've given us an assignment. You've apprehended us. For an assignment of that you've apprehended us for something. We've been apprehended by you. We've been brought, caught, apprehended for an assignment. Father, we worship you. All of us here this morning in the sound of my voice and those that are watching. Whatever we've been apprehended for becomes crystal clear in your presence. Jesus, you've asked us, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I've commanded of you? To know you is to love you. To love you is to obey you. To follow your commandments. Well, Father, I worship you. I worship you. I glorify you. I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. Makarese kiridialo, yes, sir. Mendo korose le bakiete, biala krosa, via chehenikitia. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say, saith the Lord. For many will be dull in their hearing, not having ears to hear, because of the layers of flesh that still surround and abate and hold back the strength of the Spirit. But I say unto you, that those who have ears to hear, that I've given you a spirit inside of you. And I'm not speaking particularly of the Holy Spirit at this time. But I've given you a spirit to conquer your world and to conquer your flesh. From the very beginning, to stand without argument, head and shoulders above the domination of the flesh, to cast these things out and not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. This was the first measure, but this is not where I left you. I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy only in your ability to conquer sin. I have a much greater calling beyond that for you. For once you understand that you could conquer that person and live above in righteousness, I've asked you to come apart and conquer the world around you. And for this, you will need that Spirit comes by power to you through strength and through fire and through purging, saith the Spirit of grace. My Spirit comes to burn up the last of anything left beyond the entrance into my kingdom. My Spirit comes, my Holy Ghost comes to offer to each one of you the free will of choice of the whipping post, where I, as a father, through my Spirit, will scourge away the remaining of anything left that has any effect upon you following me in the fullness of what I've asked you to do. Do not be mistaken. Do not let arguments arise in your heart and mind to delude the message of what I speak to you. I gave you the power at the very entrance into salvation to conquer those things that destroy the image, which you call killer or deal breaker sins. That was done from the very moment of conception. But I'm asking those of you that will hear my voice and purge yourself through prayer and fasting and giving of thanks to come away with me into another level. Why would you rejoice all your life as to make it the only in the center part of your life that you're able to conquer your flesh? That to me was the beginning. I'm asking you to go forth and to conquer a world around you and to conquer your city through fastings and prayers and to bring forth and to destroy the last part of anything in you that is complacent towards these things, that is indifferent towards these things. For whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Mondo keres itiato. Burro keres itiate. Bede karasete diala, yes, sir. Bede karoso. Many, many will think often, but you lean heavily upon us, Lord. You lean heavily upon us from the pulpit and you lean heavily upon us from instruction. But has not my word said that as many as I love that I will chasten? And as many as will prune themselves and go through the fire, that I will likewise prune them again and again and again. Do not be ignorant of this understanding that there are not many in the earth at this present time that have turned aside to offer their bodies a living sacrifice. When I say not many, I'm not talking about that there is just a few in number. I'm talking about as in the proportionate of the church, and especially the church in modern America. There are not many in proportion to that church that have turned aside to seek my face and cry out and abandon their flesh and abandon their world and abandon their aspirations and abandon the self-exalted and self-expressed life. I cannot make you do this. I will not make you do this. And this does not negate your coming to me at the end of your life in salvation and receiving whatever reward is available. But whoever will lay down their life will reap a great harvest in this life, for I will lay my hand upon you, and your exaltation will be to do the works that my first begotten did. It will become natural. It will become a flow to you and through you, saith the Spirit of grace. You will not have time for arguments. Doctrine will be of the utmost importance. But debates, speculations, theories, and all kinds of endless chatter will not be of any necessity. You will not have the time. You will walk past it to heal another and to raise another. Become deafened to the rhetoric of the church. Become deafened to the rhetoric of even some of your family members. For many who know me, as in sonship, do not know me in intimacy. My words are afar off to them, though I have a place in their heart as in salvation. Yet I cannot turn them to the right hand or to the left. I cannot turn them as I will, saith the Spirit of grace. But those of you who have ears to hear, continue in a straightforward motion. Listen always. Obey always. Be quick to repent. For I do not have many in proportion, but the ones that I have will bring about this outpouring, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands with me and just worship for a moment? We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Well, we worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Piala krosa tana. Kiala krosa na diene. Yes, Lord. Mokarese de diene. Go ahead, Harry. Robert. Kayati ala krosono. Yellow moko tiene, yellow mono. Pakura keresi diata. We worship you, Jesus. It's a very powerful move that is it's going on in our midst. There's an unction to pray. So I thought we always were praying, church. Well, we've always prayed. We've never stopped praying, but he's asking us to forge further. Go in like we never have before. I got a text last night, a young man that Homer and I both know real well. He's been communicating with me and others. Some powerful things that are taking place where they're at. People getting saved, coming into his business, filled with the Holy Ghost. I look over in the church parking lot. I see at different times of the week people's car here. Cars, plural. Praying. There's an effort that comes by the flesh. It always burns itself out. We're still preaching the same message we preached. March of 1997. So we haven't stopped, but there's an intensity that's coming and that's already here. I have several pages of teaching here. It's all from the Lord. Very, very, very powerful. I know it's powerful because He gave it. I can't give it. We're going to have to stay in His presence. He's asking us to come apart like we never have before. Go into the fire. Go into the purging. Go into fasting. So how does that interpret? It's just real simple. It never changes. It's the same old, same old. It's the same old, same old, but I love it. It's fastings and prayer and seeking God and extended hours of praying in tongues. The reason why, the only reason why, is God, that we have not got warped, weird, or off. Got the same message. You either love this message or hate it. You can stay with it or can't stay with it. But one thing you can find out, they're preaching the same thing they preached when we walked away from here 20 years ago. It's come back. Same thing. It's intensified. Depth has grown. More knowledge of who we are and what we've become. But there's never, ever been anything birthed without prayer and without fasting. One of the major reasons why we have not got off is our dear friend praying in tongues. It has been the cord. Everybody's got the word. The denominator, the variable. And a lot of people believe in praying in tongues, that you can do it. But the attachment has been a message of relentless prayer, primarily praying in the Holy Ghost. You can say, well, you make a God out of it. I don't care. You know what? I don't care what you say. I'm beyond trying to defend that. It's foolishness. It's rhetoric. It's nothing. I will give myself to God nonstop. I will give Him by His grace what He wants. And I'm not speaking as someone of shoulders above people in here. This is your heart, or you wouldn't be here, or this is your heart, or you wouldn't be listening. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to sing. I don't know what you guys just lead us. I certainly didn't plan on this. He's interrupting. It's what he's asked to do, the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to, as we worship, I believe that what He wants you to do is to come and stand or find a place around the front or kneel or whatever. Or you can, if you can stay there, if that's what you want to do, if you find a place where you can really. But I'd like to see us up around here. And I know that this one service, this is only a reflection of what many of you are feeling, that there's a drawing. I can't, you know, it's just what I want to do all the time now. It's just what I want to do. It's just, and I'm not saying that about myself. I'm telling you, I hope this is witnessing, because some of you are getting it like, why do I want to turn to the Word more than I ever have? Why do I want to turn the TV off more than I ever have? Why do I only want to listen to His music more than I ever have? And none of that others, there's some good stuff, whatever. Let's all stand together. Pray, pray, pray. This is a real deep message. Pray, 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 pray until you can't pray anymore. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Worship. Would you lead us in some worship, please? Hallelujah. Jesus, come and just begin to cry out of your heart, Lord, give us this revival. Give us this revival. Give us this outpouring. Give us, Lord, what you've been asking us for decades to receive from you, Lord. Take us back into the prayer closet. Sanctify our life. Lord, just cleanse us, wash us, forgive us of things that have taken our time. Show us, Lord, what things in our life are taking our time and, Lord, taking our energies. Show us, Lord, what things are taking away from our call. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sanctify us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You are holy.
Vera cada solo Cristo di Dio. Now this is open to everybody in their home. Just you can stand or spin around on the couch that you're at and make an altar right there where you're at. Or wherever you're at, just you're in this with us. Everybody in here, you don't have to be like, you know, Pastor, I have not been like on the front of revival for a long time. This is what renewing is. This is what he's calling us to come apart. So, you know, get under the blood. Get under the blood. Get sanctified under the blood. Let his blood wash us. Jesus, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Cleanse us, Lord. Oh, wash us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Wherever there's secret sins, Lord, forgive us. Wash us. Go into every room, every corridor of our hearts, Lord. Go into every place of our heart, Lord. Father, don't let there be anything left when you get done. Oh, we worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. For many of your hearts are turned aside, fighting the battle, some on many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally. For the drain and the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. But I say to you, lift yourself up. Shake yourself and let me stir you. Let me stir you beyond the place that you walk at today. Let this be a place where I infuse my strength into your hearts, that it goes beyond a determination of the mind, but a strength infused by my spirit to cause you to begin to continue day and night to pray the mysteries, to walk in my spirit and to pray in my spirit. Leave the parking lot today praying in the Spirit. Fellowship at times all through the day with me and others, intermittent praying. Find yourself praying in the Spirit, because in it my desire is to lift you up. I desire to take you past the burdens and the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight, but I've not asked you to endure the things that have come that bring the fight. I've not asked you to endure sickness, depression, poverty, as to let them rule over you or lord over you. But I've asked you to endure a fight against them, a good fight. But let me take the weight of this fight, saith the Spirit of grace. While you are worshiping me and giving yourself over to tongues and to my word, know this, that I'm building you up on your most holy faith. I'm preparing inside of you a continual answer against those things that have come to lead you astray with such a force against your emotions that it's hard to stand. Let me shore you up. Let me be a father to you. Let me once again get over to you how much I love you as my sons and as my daughters. In my strength, in my affirmation of my love to you, there is a great strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Give yourself over to this place. The more you do it, the more you'll come up. The more you'll stand. When you forget for a day or a season, go right back in. I will continue to be there to remind you. You're not lost. You're mine. I know where you're at.